Hey guys, it's Brian Young of A Crash Course for the Ravers.
It's a crash course for the Ravers.
Where we play deep cuts, lost classics, live tracks, your requests, and plenty of local rock sprinkled throughout. I'm joined by my beautiful co-host, Marie Michelle.
That's me.
1 to 4 p.m. Saturdays. Don't miss it on 91.5 WMFO in Medford.
Oh, shuz butt. I got that line there for...
Shuz butt?
Get a little mork for you. I got the... change my music bed spot. Pot.
I know. You like...
There we go.
All these CDs.
Crazy, man. I'm acting like a real DJ today. 91.5 WMFO in Medford. Hopefully, Luigi Scorzia from Luigi and the Wise Guys calls in.
I hope so, too.
Good friend of Johnny Thunders. He's psyched about... I know he has a song called Johnny Ace about Johnny Thunders.
Okay.
Older song.
Yeah.
But that's going to be in Danny Garcia's movie, Sad Vacation, about Sid Vicious.
Oh, okay. Oh, great. I liked his one about Johnny.
Well, that's what this... Yeah, Danny Garcia's movie about Johnny. Right, yeah.
So you met Luigi in New York?
I met Luigi down in New York.
You talk about when he calls in.
Johnny Thunder's birthday annual bash they have down there. So, yeah.
Save the story for when he calls.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk about your UF?
Oh, that was weird. Well, we don't know if Luigi... hopefully he'll call in. I told him quarter past. If not, we'll definitely have him call in soon. But I'll play his song soon, whether or not he calls in. Johnny Ace, because I love it. And that was weird. I was driving home from band practice, driving home from Rhode Island. I was almost home the other night around the Braintree split. And...
you saw something.
I gotta call it a UFO. For me, it was unidentified.
Unidentified
flying object.
Why was this different than a helicopter?
I'd say it was about 20 feet above the highway.
So it was low.
It was really low. It wasn't making any noise.
That you know.
I couldn't hear anything.
Was your music cranked?
I turned it down to see. Like if I could hear helicopters or something.
Yeah.
It looked like, it's higher than 20 feet. Maybe it was 50 feet up. And there were four of them, it was either four things in a line, but if it was, they were all going at the same speed and formation.
Well, they say UFOs do that.
Yeah, so it was either that, or it was something that looked like a big...
huge mothership.
Or it was something that looked like a big wing. What it actually looked like was something from, those carnivals that are around now all the time, in the summertime.
What carnivals?
They come through town,
Like the one in Quincy this weekend?
The town carnivals.
Do you think that's what it was?
Those fiesta show rides. No, but that's what it reminded me of. It just looked like a big arm of, one of those in the sky. And, I was going pretty fast down...
the highway.
Yeah, up 93 or 1 or whatever they want to call it at that point at the Braintree split. It's like three highways at that point in Braintree. But sped under it, and then it was gone. So I don't know where, I didn't see a flyaway.
Blink out?
No, I was going so fast that I just saw it go above the windshield and gone,
stationary.
I don't know, because I was moving. It could have been moving.
Yeah.
But I drove under it.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't see it in the rearview mirror, I don't know what happened to it.
Yeah, you could have just not seen it, but...
I don't know, It was something that's not usually there, So I've driven by there 1,000 times.
You have to keep driving through there at different times if you can catch it again. Because, UFOs visit the same places, or...
I guess.
If they are... Well, yeah, at this point, we know they're out there.
They're out
there. It's not true. It's one of those things where it just, eventually...
Talking to the mic there, Billy Boy.
I feel like it's one of those things where eventually someone's going to, with the camera technology these days, someone's going to get a really convincing video of something at some point.
You'd think.
I think they have.
It seems like every time there's a UFO, someone thinks, okay, let me get my lowest quality camera and I'm going to take a picture.
My camera phone.
Look up Christo Raffolo. He's got video for you.
That's all he does is chase UFOs.
My buddy.
Only UFO I ever saw was in Wellfleet.
So you did see
one. I did see one. Yeah,
Rosie's saying I should have taken a pic of it. I was flying down the road in my Challenger.
You're in a Challenger. I couldn't be flying down.
There was no taking pictures of this thing.
So when did you see yours in Wellfleet?
I was at the drive-in theater up there in Wellfleet when I was with my dad. And my dad was one of those guys who never believed in UFOs.
Yeah.
He's like, nah, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
See this giant flaming ball, just kind of in the sky, lit up the whole sky.
Yeah.
It looked like a second sun, but it was, 11 at night. So there's no way that it was... It was just this really bright orange ball, and I'm like, so Dad, do you believe in them now? Because that thing's like flying everywhere. That's
right.
I don't think a helicopter or a plane can move in these weird like Z-shape, X-pattern things. And then like to this day, he still denies that it was ever
that it happened.
And
saw it the way it was.
Dad, you saw it. You were there with me. This big thing. Like,
I don't know.
I say why not?
I still think David Bowie was from another planet.
I know.
Our God, Bowie.
Maybe it was him.
It might have been. It was some kind of Starman. It's MFO. WMFO in Medford. It is a crash course for the Reavers Show. Well, Luigi Scorsia from The Wise Guy said he'd call in a quarter past. So if he calls in, he calls in. It's a minute past. It's 16
past.
16 past.
The 3 o'clock hour here at 91.5 WMFO in Medford.
That's what I got to do to get my jobs.
To get your what?
Make an air check and sound
talk
all.
Talk really deep.
Yeah.
I thought you can do that on the board. Didn't they always do that like on WBCN, make all the DJs' voices sound deeper?
No, you always said that. We didn't do that. No.
Even on regular BCN, freeform and regular.
Yeah, I know. You told me my voice sounded different, but
it did, deeper.
We didn't do anything to it.
No?
No.
Special mics?
Maybe the mics are better. I don't know.
Let it go. Okay.
Yeah, I have no idea. I wasn't listening to myself there. I don't know. I couldn't back then. It wasn't like recorded, the freeform BCN.
Yeah, you couldn't hear yourself.
No.
You should have.
I wish somebody recorded it.
I think I did.
Nobody cares.
I did record it, but because that computer crashed and they went all.
Those were the old days. In with the new 91.5 WMFO in Medford. We are a crash course for the ravers. What have we been listening to? What the heck have we been listening to?
A whole bunch of good stuff.
All kinds of stuff. I think we started that one off. I think it's Luigi. We can tell you all that later on. MFO, you're on the air.
No, he's not. Lift him up.
Oh.
Gee, how are you?
Hey, Luigi. I missed you there.
A good time?
Yes, MFO, you're on the air.
How are you, Mr. Young? How you doing?
All right, man. Luigi Scorsia? Do I say your name last name right?
It's Scorsia, but people call me Luigi Babe.
Luigi Babe?
Luigi Babe, like Luigi Babe, crack daddy of swing. That was my nickname in the 90s.
All right. Luigi Crack Baby of Swing.
No, Luigi Babe. Luigi Babe.
Luigi Babe.
Luigi Babe. But then you just say something.
I call everybody a babe because I can't remember their name. How you doing, babe?
I think I even got a couple of babes when I met you that night. We were hanging out quite a while that night.
Wow, you were looking good too that night.
You are looking mighty dapper. I was very impressed with your shoes.
Well, I went on tour with Jerry Nolan.
Right.
And Johnny Thunders. And Jerry Nolan taught me how to cop a look. That's what he said. You got to learn how to cop a look.
Oh, man, and you do it.
And Jerry was one of the best dressed guys ever.
He sure was. Johnny was good, too, huh?
Yeah.
So what did you what did you actually do with those guys, Luigi? We got Luigi Scorsia here. And you worked with Johnny Thunders, Jerry Nolan. What was your part in that?
Well, I played bass and guitar and babysitter. when Johnny needed money, he'll cut the band down to three pieces.
Right.
So he didn't have to pay everybody. And then at that point, I'd go over on bass. And when there was money to be made, he'll put me on guitar. And he'll get somebody or have me play bass and Walker Law play guitar, or my good friend Tony C.
Right.
Play bass.
Very.
And every now and then we would bring in Billy Rogers to play drums, not Jerry Nolan.
Okay. Did you tour with them or are you on any albums?
Well, you know what? I just got a magazine from Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
I was with Johnny on my golden life as a kid from Brooklyn was to get out of Brooklyn and go on tour. All right?
Sure.
So finally I got on tour with Johnny Thunders, and our first show was in Sweden.
Wow. What year was this?
1982.
Okay. Yeah, he was so excited.
What?
I was for me, those are good years for him, you know? I mean, he was still hot, you know?
I don't know about that, but I'll continue with the story.
Yes, go ahead.
So I was playing with him earlier that year, and things weren't going the way I wanted it to go. So I went over to London to play with this band called the BMTs. Then we went on tour with Bo Diddley. We recorded a song with Bo Diddley, and the guitar player from the BMT, he's actually Billy Joe's musical director for the last 30 years.
Right.
So then Johnny saw that I was playing with Bo Diddley. He flies me back to New York, and he books me at a, puts me in the Gramercy Park Hotel.
Wow.
And all fucking hell breaks out, because when I was in London, I started doing drugs.
Uh-oh.
All right? And Johnny and Jerry were like my big brothers, all right? When they saw that I was doing drugs, they cornered me.
They flipped out about it?
I'll never forget this story. They cornered me, and they said, Luigi, what are you, a drug addict? What are you, a fucking junkie?
Right.
That's what they said to me.
They were doing it, right?
Hold it. That's what I said.
Right.
That's how naive I was. And I turned around, I said, look at you two guys, you fucking both junkies. They're like this. And they were serious. No, we're not. I said, then what's those track marks on your arm?
Right.
Johnny goes like this. He goes, I take drugs to get medicated.
Right.
Jerry Nolan was a methadone person. He was always on methadone.
Yep.
I said, Jerry, then what's your story? I take methadone to get well.
Right.
And you will not be playing with us if you continue doing drugs.
Oh, man.
And I never forgot that. I never forgot that.
So did you quit then?
Absolutely.
Oh, good, good for greatest, you, man.
The greatest... Well, the big myth about Johnny...
Yeah.
Everybody thought he was pro-drugs.
Right.
That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, we got to watch the swearing because it's FM radio, okay?
Okay.
No problem. Okay.
It's bull.
Right.
The thing is, like, when they do documentaries on Johnny,
yep,
it's always emphasizing his drug habit. You Google him on Wikipedia, they say his music's called junkie music.
Right.
No. I'm sorry. To me, he was one of the best guitar players that ever lived.
Oh, absolutely. He's one of my favorites, yeah, man. Yeah, you should listen to this show more often, Luigi. He's like the unsung hero. He gets played at least once a show, you know?
Well, you know, it's funny how everybody knows who he is.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was playing with him, there was never anybody at the shows.
Man, if I knew, man. Yeah, I didn't know, you know? You know what?
Well,
it's...
I don't think you were born then, that's why.
Well, no, I was. I was born in 71. I would definitely see him in the late 80s if I knew about him. I didn't. I knew who the New York Dolls were. It wasn't until I was a DJ at WZLX, some drunk guy was calling in the middle of the night every night going, you gotta play Johnny Thunders. And finally I go, who the F is Johnny Thunders? And he goes, how can you be a DJ and not who Johnny Thunders is? And I went, I better find out who the F Johnny Thunders is. And I did. Right. I fell in love. That was about 10 years ago. And yeah, he's one of my favorites now. You know?
Well, let me tell you the story how I found out about Johnny Thunders.
Mm-hmm. Well, he knew him.
So I was a kid in Brooklyn, and they used to call me Disco Lou in my two-tone shoe.
Uh-huh.
It was about 1970, 1971, and disco was coming in.
Right.
You know? And I always hung out with older guys. So they took me to this nightclub called Club 82.
Okay.
Now, Club 82 is a real famous club. You should Google it.
I've heard of it.
It was actually run by the mafia.
Okay.
My father went there in the 50s, and it was a drag queen hangout. Okay.
Yep.
And I'm a naive kid from Brooklyn, right?
Yep.
And I go there, and I'm like 14 or 15 years old. It's fucking mind-blowing.
Right.
Sorry about my language.
Right.
Mind-blowing. And on stage were these women, I thought.
You thought?
I thought.
Yeah.
But when you walked in, you didn't know. The person at the door was called Tommy, but Tommy was a diesel dyke.
Oh,
Tommy
no.
Tommy was actually a woman.
Oh, no. Right?
And everywhere it turned was these big women with big hair.
Yep.
You know, like, you know, that's how my parents, my mom was like that. They had, like, the beehives.
Yeah.
Like Elvis's wife.
Right, right. I've seen them.
And I'm watching these guys play, and I just said, God damn it. I've seen these girls play.
Yeah.
God damn, they're good. And my friend makes fun of me. They're a bunch of guys dressed up as women. They're a bunch of fags. And I said, fags. And then at the end of the show, I seen all these gorgeous women running to them, to the New York Dolls. And from that day on,
That was the New York Dolls. I thought you were talking about like Jane County or something, but yeah, I mean the Dolls were in drag, so I mean it was something different for sure.
Well, back then, I mean, forget it. It was dangerous to do that.
Right.
And then I started dressing up in platform shoes,
right?
Like them. I started going to their shows, and their shows were 99% women.
That's awesome. Like, right? real women.
And if you go to the shows now, they're 99% old guys.
Right.
So, I don't know. You know, but this magazine that I got from Sweden this week, when I was interviewed. See, I don't really like talking about my escapades with Johnny.
We love him, so you have to.
No, but it's like the guys who went to World War II. They never told their kids what happened.
Right.
Listen, going on tour with Johnny was going to war. I'm not joking.
Yeah, you kind of like, so, what do they call that? What do they call it? Postpartum.
Syndrome.
Yeah.
PSD, post stress syndrome.
Something.
No, listen. So let me just tell you about what happened in Sweden. So my big thing was to go on tour. And so we get there, and who opens up for us is Depeche Mode, right?
Uh-huh.
You know who Depeche Mode, right?
Right.
Huge, right? Johnny gets on stage, and the first thing, you know, we get off the plane, he says he's got to get fucking high. And so he had a bunch of drugs on him from New York.
Right.
All right? He does them all, because he assumes he could get more drugs in Sweden.
Right.
All right? He took the drugs because he doesn't like flying. That's what his excuse was.
Right.
But when he got on stage, he was so out of it, and he fell down. The tour got canceled, and the show was banned for 25 years.
Oh, my God.
The video of the show was banned for 25 years. And then we did one more gig up near Russia.
Yeah.
It's called Sundsvall. And we got arrested because one of us was looking for drugs in the medical box.
Oh, my God. Now, I've watched a lot of old footage of Johnny, like, I think one of them is Sweden. Are you in any of, like, those YouTube videos you can see?
Absolutely.
You are. Oh, my God.
It doesn't look like me, because I have a hat on.
Okay.
You know?
I got to look for that.
And, no, I'm the one, in 82, I went with him.
Okay, I'll look for that.
And then that night, I introduced Jerry Nolan to his wife, Charlotte. Charlotte ended up becoming a politician.
Uh-huh.
I had a girlfriend there named Terrell. Terrell, I'm still friends with her to this day. You know, and Johnny and Jerry saw that I was really, you know, I was really freaking out in Sweden. Because once they canceled the tour, there was no money.
Right.
And because of my instincts, I'm the guy who got us, I started dating Terrell. Terrell put us up in our mother's house.
Mm-hmm.
Terrell was a big model in Sweden.
Okay.
And, to make a long story short, when we finally got some money, Frank Rocchio from the Peppermint Lounge booked our flights to London. He paid for the flight.
Nice.
And they got him to pay for my girlfriend's flight.
Nice.
Well, what? No.
No?
I thought it was nice.
No.
What happens next is they think when we get to customs, they wouldn't let us in, but somehow somebody got us in, but they wouldn't let my girlfriend in because they thought she was a hooker.
Oh, no.
Because all she showed up was her portfolio and no clothes. You know? So we get to London.
Yeah.
And the shit hits the fan again.
Right.
We have no gigs. They confiscate our guitars.
Oh my.
And we're homeless now. And I remember meeting Johnny and Jerry at a cemetery. All right? Because the cemetery, I was living with another girl. I was actually living with Paul Simoneau's girlfriend, Debbie Chronic.
Yeah.
All right. So I met them at the cemetery.
Uh-huh.
And and I'm freaking out again.
Right.
And Jerry Nolan turns around to me and says, don't worry. I start yelling. He says, we got no money. We got nothing. We don't even got a place to stay. He says, the money's around the block. So I look around. It's a cemetery. What the fuck what are they talking about?
Right.
It was a metaphor that I'll never forget. Never worry. You're always going to get bailed out sooner or later.
Right.
Of course we got bailed out.
Right.
Everything worked out. In the end, I was friends with Tony James from Generation X.
Uh-huh.
So he came on bass, and I went on guitar. We played the venue. Sylvain played with us. Lenny showed up with more drugs. and I ended up leaving. Ended up leaving London. And Tony James ended up playing with him for a while.
And that was it. What? So how many years were you playing with Johnny?
About 2.5 years.
2.5 years. Wow. That's very, significant. That's awesome. Thank you for doing that.
I played with him, at his low point in his career.
Right. Well, I did
three albums with him. You know, we got Tony, we got Jimmy Miller from the Rolling Stones to produce one of the albums.
That's awesome.
And you know, it was, it happened so quickly. Everything, because when I met Johnny, he showed up at a rehearsal. I was rehearsing with a band called Knots. Mm. I actually had a band called Luigi and the Wise Guys.
Right.
And I used to play with him. And this guy, Tony C, had a band called Knots. And I play with him every now and then.
Okay.
Johnny was friends with him. Johnny shows up at the rehearsal. And he sees me playing. He comes over to me and says, you sound like Jeff Beck. And he liked
Wow.
Jeff Beck.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he was thinking. I don't sound like that, but he calls me. He calls me a day or two later.
Yep.
And he said, "Well, you want to go on tour with me?"
That's incredible.
And I said, "I don't know your songs." He says, "I'll teach you them on the plane." All right.
Yep.
So I get on tour. We go on tour with Billy Rogers and Tony C.
Mm.
And they're both gone now.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Rogers married Cynthia from the B-Girls.
Okay.
And Tony C used to play with Walter, or Walter used to play with Tony C. Right?
Okay.
So we get on the plane. Johnny's out of it because he doesn't like to fly.
Mm-hmm.
We do the first show, and I go. I say, Johnny, how do the songs go? He says, don't worry about it. It's in the key of A.
Yeah. And you're on bass at this point?
No, I was guitar.
Playing rhythm?
Well, rhythm's lead. You know,
yeah, okay.
And so, after the second or third gig, I knew the songs like the back of my hand.
Yep.
And we went up to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
We did a bunch of gigs in San Francisco, Washington, and Oregon somewhere, and then Vancouver, and all along the way, I'm picking up all these women.
Yep.
And Johnny kind of got uptight about that, because he's the Romeo.
Yeah, but so you're doing better than you're doing better than him, though.
Well, because my objective was, women and rock and roll, and
right.
His objective was just to get himself well.
Right.
So. He goes kind of like this in front of everybody. Watch this, Luigi. And so I go, what am I watching?
Yep.
I'm kind of this arrogant kid. There's a knock on the door, and the most gorgeous woman comes in the hotel room in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Sydney. A girl named Sydney.
Okay.
And she dressed all in white. She had blonde hair. She loaded up with drugs also. She gave us all drugs.
Nice. Sounds like an angel.
She was an angel. and she calmed him down, and we found out that she was married, and that she ends up staying with the band for 5 days straight. All right? The white jacket turned black, and when her drugs ran out...
Oh, my God.
Johnny... And he said, well, I think you might have to go back home to your husband if you're leaving,
Yeah.
But I stayed friends with her. I think she was lovely. She's right. actually in one of those documentaries on Johnny.
What's her name now?
Her name is Sydney.
Okay, Sydney. No, yeah. no last name?
And, I can't remember it. It starts with a G, Gustavo.
All right.
And she's actually in the... she's all doped up in the Lech Kowalski documentary on Johnny.
Right.
And it's kind of bad because, you know what, she wasn't really a... She wasn't really a drug fiend.
Right.
She had two nice kids, you know. So Johnny and so we do a gig in San Francisco where somebody throws a bottle at me and I throw the bottle back and Johnny scolded me for that because he said if you throw the bottle back, they're gonna throw it back at you again.
Yeah, that's a fight.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
So he ends up hitting somebody over the head. And you can hear it on the video. I've been crushing the guy's skull.
Oh, my God.
And the guy goes into a coma.
What, oh, my and God. I what song up, is that? I mean, like, can I find that?
I'll try to find it. But so Johnny was playing this Red Junior, you know? And so he ends up, so me and the band freak out. We think we're going to get arrested.
Right.
But Johnny stays in San Francisco. So we go to L.A. because my golden life was to play the whiskey.
Whiskey-a-go-go.
The whiskey. Can you say again?
The whiskey-a-go-go.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So we're at the whiskey. We're waiting for Johnny to show up. All right. The place sold out three nights in a row. All right. He shows up and he's out of his freaking mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the first song, he falls down. You know, and it's like, oh my, you know. And so what I did next was I unplugged his guitar.
Oh, no.
I knew the song better than him at that
right.
point.
So you just did him.
I unplugged his guitar. He thought he was still playing.
Right.
All right. And the bass player sang all the songs.
Oh my God, he's already didn't do anything.
Right. So what happens next is nobody shows up at the next show, you know, and then we go to San Diego. This is the crux of the story. We go to San Diego, and you know, he lets this young kid backstage in who sees John shooting up.
Right.
Right. The kid freaks out. And we did a great show. I mean, the band was smoking again.
Right.
We walk out. We had the best time. I mean, I even saw a girl before the show. It was, I tell you, man, it was the best.
Right.
We walk out the door, and all of a sudden, 1,000 lights hit us. It was the cops.
What happened?
The cops actually stopped me earlier that night because I was, you know, on the roadside with a woman.
Right.
All right. And he told me that, you know, he shouldn't be doing that because there's illegals coming in there. It's dangerous. That same cop who said that to me arrested Johnny and I. And he arrested John for internal possession. He arrested me for thinking that I had drugs on me.
Right.
So they locked us up for 3 days. I still have the write-up.
I mean, is this because the kid left and told on you guys? I mean,
absolutely.
Oh, my God.
And so it was kind of cool that we were in jail the first night because we were stars.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Johnny was in the jail across the hall from me. I could see him.
Right.
And speak to him.
Right.
And he just told me to keep my mouth shut. But by the second night, he saw that I was getting dangerous.
Uh-huh.
You know, because everybody thought we had money. They wanted to be our backup singers. They wanted us. These convicts wanted to be our bodyguards.
So there are a lot of people in there with you.
It's San Diego.
Right.
San Diego on the weekend.
Right.
Packed. All right. So by the third night, we're freaking out here because we're on the news now. They're saying they're going to put us away. I'm worried. Johnny and I are both worried about what happened in San Francisco. But for some strange reason, nobody could bail Johnny out. No, he couldn't come up with the money. His mother didn't want to give him the money. his sister. So what happens was one of my little groupie girlfriends in New York found out about it, and she wanted the money. So she got me out. And then Johnny turns to me.
Another angel.
And I'm looking out, so Johnny turns around to me and says, get me out. I said, if I get you, I said, at this point, I'm pissed at him because I figured he was going to bail me out.
Right.
And I said, you know what? If I bail you out, I know you're never going to give me the money. He said, I'll give you my guitar. So I end up getting his guitar.
Oh, my God.
But that got stolen also. So, but, you know, and then I wasn't named the band Johnny Thunders and the Lawbreakers.
Okay.
He didn't want to go for it because he was worried about what happened in San Francisco.
He doesn't want to be a lawbreaker.
But hold it. What happens next is I had a show up to go to court in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny doesn't show up. It's the weirdest thing.
Right.
Well, they dropped it. You know what? He was an angel because he never got in trouble. He always had somebody watching him.
Right.
You know, in Sweden, he turned blue. You know, and he had Jerry Nye save him.
Right.
And I really believe the reason why he died in New Orleans was there's no angels.
He didn't have any handlers, nobody helping him.
Nah, you know what? I mean, have you been to New Orleans?
Yeah, I have, for a couple days.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of weird. It's more like vampires and evil spirits than angels there.
I think so, yeah. It can be a fun town, but yeah, I actually signed the book. That was before I knew who Johnny was, and I signed the book there. It was like, you know, where he died. They had some book there. And, I knew what some famous rock star died there. I didn't find out who he was till a few years later. Wow.
You know, see, when I was young, I went to see the New York Dolls. The next thing is I hitchhiked across the country. So I ended up living in L.A. A lot of people don't know this about me, but I lived on top of Ronnie Bingenheimer's English discotheque. All right, and I ended up being best friends with Sable Starr and all the Cynthia, who's married Johnny Ramon. So I ended up hanging out with all these young little groupies and being around like Mark Bolan,
right,
and Wayne County,
awesome,
which became Jerry, you know, and hung out with Rodney Bingenheimer. When I think of Johnny Thunders, I think of him as this beautiful man with his big hair and
right.
all these gorgeous women around him. You know, and when I started playing with him, he wasn't the same guy.
You see the dirty stuff, sure.
You know, but I got to tell you, you know, for years, I wouldn't speak about him because it was intimate. Because it was him and I and Jerry on the road all the time.
Right.
And, but when...
But you're the only one left, man, out of those three.
Right. Well, you know, but when I got around everybody, like when I would, you know, when I would play with him, you know, all his negative fans would come over. I mean, they're the ones who gave him the drugs. I mean,
right.
You know. They said it to him, because they wanted to be friends with him.
Right. Yeah, he tried, but everyone gave him stuff. And, yeah. Right. I mean, obviously he was trying if he was on methadone, right?
Well, you know, he, believe it or not, he was in a lot of pain his whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it's, but I just don't like the reputation of him as a junkie.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know you didn't say he was on methadone. Well, I guess he shot up just to get his fix. I mean, he was getting, you know. I know how.
He took methadone. He took pills. I mean, I've done this. Whatever he did, I did also.
Right, right.
Not to the amount he did.
Right. Well, anyways, we got to get moving on, Luigi. I love your call, and you can even call back and talk some more if you want another time. That would be great. But Luigi, what are you up to now? You're with Luigi. I mean, you still do stuff with Luigi and the Wise Guys, right?
Well, nah, that was just for the Max's reunion.
Okay.
I just got back from Spain. I did a spaghetti western with Danny Garcia, who's who did Sad Vacation, who did
Johnny Thunder Story.
Johnny Thunder Story, The Rise and Fall of the Clash.
Yep.
He's doing something on Sid Vicious.
Mm-hmm.
He makes spaghetti westerns, low budgets. You know, I got to tell you, it's beautiful out there.
I love spaghetti westerns, man. That's awesome. I'd love to be in one. that's great, man. Good for you. So you're mostly acting these days, huh?
So, yeah. I'm doing a show with this young Russian girl. We're doing some music. Matter of fact, we had rehearsed a bunch of Johnny's songs where she sings them fantastic. So I might show the videos.
Okay.
At rehearsal with these songs. I was thinking about getting a band called Mrs. Johnny Thunders. And have to dress up like Johnny fucking Thunders. I'm not joking.
Sounds good.
When I play the matches for you, say it again?
Yeah, do it.
So, no, when I played the matches reunion, Peter Crowley, who used to manage Johnny, said to me, if Johnny was alive, he would have sounded like you today. I looked at him in the eyes and said, no, man, Johnny's great. I can never match him. But he was trying to say that I played well that night.
Right.
I come as close as anybody to playing like him, but I can't play like him. Because I remember picking up his guitar at sound check a couple of times to try to sound like him.
Right.
I couldn't do it. The same thing like Bo Diddley.
Right. Oh, yeah. He's definitely his... Nobody sounds like that. You're absolutely right, Luigi.
You know, the same thing like Keith Richards.
Right.
You know it's Keith, no matter what guitar this guy picks up. And Johnny, you know, he just didn't play, you know, Les Paul Juniors. I mean, I've seen him play some Gretches, and they all sounded like him.
Right.
And I think that's what makes someone a great master of the guitar.
I think you're right. I agree totally. Luigi Scorgia from Luigi and the Wise Guys and Johnny... was he calling himself Johnny Thunders and the Heartbreakers when you were with him?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yep. He called it that sometimes. Sometimes he called it Cosa Nostra.
All right, Cosa Nostra, which would be... That's Italian Mafia, right?
Absolutely. Good luck. You know, I'm Italian. Tony was Italian in the band. You got to kick this. Tony and I are real tough guys.
Yeah.
Tony's from the Bronx. I'm from Brooklyn. Listen, I tell you, Johnny was Italian. He's half Italian. I miss him. You know what I miss? I miss that era.
I wish I was older in that era for sure. You know, I would have ran down there and tried to join you guys.
Well, you know what? That era was dangerous.
Oh, of course.
That's what nobody talks about. The fear factor that we all thought we were going to get killed or OD'd. The economy was bleak. It was dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
The Bronx was burning. Nobody talks about that fear that we lived through.
I read about it, though. I know.
You know, you can read all you want about it. You got to live it. I've been through a war.
Right.
I mean, I had guns put to my head, you know, back then, you know.
Right. What? I can't get the word. What's the word, Marie, when somebody comes back from a war?
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
There you go.
Right.
Is that what you have, Luigi?
I guess I had it because what I did was I started taking drugs to suppress my my problems. And then one day I just woke up.
You're okay, you know? Now, right?
Yeah. Life's great now.
Yep.
But you know what I say? Oh, before they're making a move. I went to London in November for the premiere of Sad Vacation, where I got three songs in the film.
Sad Vacation, Danny Garcia's film, right?
Right, right. It's great, by the way. It's not good. It's great.
Okay.
And I met Nina Antonio. She wrote the book In Cold Blood.
Yes.
You must have read that, right?
I have. I know. Yep. I know of her well. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I finally got to meet her, and the first words out of my mouth was, "You spelt my name wrong."
Oh, God.
And she goes like this, "But I changed it in the second edition." And it was cool.
Right.
She was so lovely.
Oh, good.
And I just read yesterday that this famous director is doing a movie on Johnny Thunders. and she wrote the script.
And that would be the Danny Scorsese. I mean, Danny Garcia.
No, it's not Danny's. No. Danny did a documentary. This is a film.
Oh, okay, something different.
So, you know what? When I find the link, I'll send it to you. But the director is super famous.
Okay, so you mean somebody's going to be acting the part of Johnny Thunders is going to be a...
Absolutely.
Okay, are you going to be part of that?
Well, probably not. I mean, the best person that would have been... One day I'll tell you the story how I met Johnny Depp. I went to Johnny Depp's house, and when he found out I played with Johnny Thunders, I never seen anybody get so excited. But
yep.
the best person that would have played Johnny Thunders was Johnny Depp when he was younger.
Yeah.
But he's a little bit too old now.
I think you're right. Yeah, he is getting too old.
Yeah. But you know what? Every time they do these, the best rock and roll film I ever saw was, I think, The Doors. Because I think they really embodied, Jim Morrison.
Yeah, but Val Kilmer.
It's hard to capture. Yeah, it's hard to really capture, the essence.
Right.
Like they did the movie on The Runaways. They did the movie on CBGBs, which I never saw. I heard it horrible.
Yeah.
What I'm glad about is that Johnny's name is still getting out there.
That's what I mean, I'm trying to do that every Saturday, Luigi, and you're helping me right now.
We love you.
Thank you.
We love you for that.
Thank you.
All right, so keep up the good work.
You know what?
I'll see you soon.
Yeah, we'll have you call back, man. I know you got plenty of stories and plenty more to say, but I only have like 8 more minutes left, and I want to play your song, too.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Okay.
Stay well, man. Keep in touch. Come to New York, hit me up, all right?
I will, Luigi. Thank you. Luigi Scorsia, everyone. We'll talk soon, Luigi, okay?
You guys, ciao.
Okay, thanks, brother. Here's Luigi and the Wise Guys right here on MFO. Oh, and we'll be back with a short Boston Groupie News Report.
91.5 WMFO in Medford. Hey, Boston Groupie News Report. Real quick, Marie, what's going on?
Over at O'Brien's, there's a whole bunch of bands playing today and tomorrow. It's called The Grub, Sweat, and Tears. I don't know if I have time to name off all the bands, but check that out. At tomorrow, Roy Sludge is playing at Sally O'Brien's.
Right on.
And on Wednesday, at O'Brien's also, is Black Beach Bike Thieves, the Owens. And the 28th, Friday, there's the Willie Loco Show at the Meeting House. There's also a...
Up in Gloucester.
There's also another show going on called My Aim is True Turns 40, and it's a night of Elvis Costello covers.
Right.
And Anthony Kaczynski's going to be there, woo! John Sheeran, Charles Hanson, and the divine Linda Shaw.
Right.
And more
shows. Tom Baker will be there.
Yes, yep.
All at Sally O'Brien's. That's Friday night.
I know. That looks excellent.
Sure does.
And for that and a lot more, go to thegroupienews.com.
For all this and more.
Yes, I did that backwards.
That's what we say for now on. For all this and more, go to bostongroupienews.com. I don't believe... We probably could have had a longer interview because I just remembered. I don't think... Finn's got it off.
That's right.
So we'll leave you with some Johnny Thunders, huh?
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Luigi Scorgia, for calling in. We'll have him call in again. I know he's got a lot to say.
Yeah.
We'll have him call in again sometime. 91.5 WMFO in Medford. Oh, I got to do a quick PSA, too, and then we'll play some Johnny Thunders for you. Thank you very much, everyone. We'll be back next week. I think Shotgun Waltz next week? I think so.
Okay.
Find out then. Until then.
Facebook.
See ya!
We were saying see ya now?
Yeah. See ya!
See ya.
See ya.